Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life, behind the scenes of a YouTube creator and would-be farmer, I suppose. Thank you very much for tuning in. Sorry, been away for a couple of days. We went up to Derby over the weekend. Derbyshire, in actual fact, not Derby itself, but Derbyshire to an event. 5 hours of travelling on Saturday morning. Not the greatest of fun. By the way, just so you know, it's the... I don't know what it is today. 14th, it could be. 14th of July, it's about 20 past 7. As I record this. And we're up at 6 with an infestation of maggots. Went downstairs to make some tea and discovered, because we'd been away... maggots had come in and laid eggs in the cat food and all over the bloody place, and were not maggots, flies had laid the eggs. Maggots are the sort of larvae, aren't they? And so I'd had a quick clean up of that. I don't know if there's a dead rodent or something under the floorboards, because this bit doesn't have a floorboard anyway. I've cleaned it all up, bleached everywhere, but it's just a pain in the bum. And every now and again you see the odd maggot and you just have to ping it away. Anyway, yeah, so we went to Derby, and then after Derby, that was an event, and did a talk, all went very well, met some lovely people. And then we were down to Kent the following day, which was yesterday. So we, on the way down the night before last, we pitched off the M1 in Leicestershire, I think it was, and or Nottinghamshire, somewhere, and found a little sort of rural road just off the M1, pitched up by a lovely wood, beautiful woodland, with a path on a lay-by. So we camped there the night, which was grand, just on a whim, you know. We knew we were going to camp, but we didn't know where, so we took a punt at this particular junction, found this little lay-by, found this woodland, camped down there. It's very lovely. That's the beauty of having a van that you can sleep in and do discreet, because discreet camping, because nobody really knows what's going on when you've, you know, it's not like a camper van and people can see, oh, somebody's camping in our bloody woods or outside our house or whatever, just like, oh, probably a builder's van or whatever. They don't think too much. Anyway, we camped the night in there. It was grand. In the morning, we went for a stroll around the woods, which was very nice before the heat temperature got up. And then off down to Kent to see a chap called Barry Clark, who'd painted this iconic Spitfire, which is on the back wall on my house. Whenever I do my videos, there's this Spitfire. Well, he said, you know, that Spitfire is... it's not been laid out properly. There's no border, you know. And so he said, I've got you a better print, which was very kind of him. So we went down to collect that. But they gave us dinner, he and his wife, Lynn. Very lovely people. He's a small holder. So he grows fruit trees and various things. Has some ducks. Not really many animals now or anything like that. Used to have sheep. We looked round at what he'd done, how he'd built it and how he'd put it together. It was fascinating. Great to see. Lovely workshop with lathes and various things, you know, all the sort of things that you need to build things. He's very much into steam trains and he's painted some amazing pictures. And he gave us a number of framed prints. These are quite large. Not quite sure what I'm going to do with them and what wall they're going on or where they're going, but we'll figure that out. In due course, you just couldn't say no, really. It was so generous of him. So, just keeping an eye on the cat and the cat food. The cat's having another nibble of the cat food, but as soon as the cat has finished, the cat food has to go. In an ideal world, I suppose, you ought to get a Tupperware box to put it in so it can go in the fridge. But I will just put it in the fridge with a plate over it, because it's stinky old stuff, that's the trouble. We don't want it to stink out everything else. Anyway, that was nice, and we got back that yesterday at 7 o'clock. So I apologise for not being in touch, but when we're away on the road, as you know, it's very difficult. It's a bit cloudy, it's a bit cooler this morning, which I suppose for a lot of people that's very nice. I actually enjoy the hot weather. It's my kind of weather. I'd be happy to have it more frequently, but a lot of people find it draining. As long as we've got enough water, and that may well be the subject of today's video, actually, when I get it done. But a nice time was had by all. It was nice to be back, of course, and to get back onto the land project. But it was nice to learn a lot of stuff. So that's all good. We also came away with some candles and some, what do you call it, tins, tobacco tins, but original, you know, the tobacco tins that were printed. I don't know whether that's enamel printing. It always looks like enamel printing, but it's printed on, as opposed to the god-awful labels with the government message on it. Just keeping an eye on the cat there, still eating. I've ordered some books which arrived whilst we were away, and these are woodworking and carpentry books, because when we're on the land, we're going to need to build things. So I thought, I'm not very good at all this sort of stuff. Mastering Hand Tool Techniques, a comprehensive guide on how to sharpen, tune and use classic hand tools to add power to your woodworking, and woodworking tools and how to use them, based on classic work by Alfred Morgan. So I'm particularly interested in these hand tools rather than power tools, you know, to do with drills and planes and all the different types of saws that you have, and how you join and, you know, all those sort of things. A mortise gauge and a compass dividers and goodness knows what bits of equipment that you need. But they're all good for certain jobs, aren't they? And making certain joints, making things strong. And when we're on the land, that's what we're going to need. We're going to need all that sort of stuff. So I'm just walking back to see if the cat has finished eating. And if so, whatever's left can go in the nose. Put the kettle on again, yes, of course. I always look lovely in the kettle. So I've got the washing machine on because I'm washing up. There we go. Sorry about this little delay, ladies and gentlemen. I imagine the cups... Are the cups still up in the bedroom? Unfortunately, yesterday, Julia inadvertently trod on a wasp. And that wasn't so pleasant, was it?
No, I learnt my lesson for dropping my guard around a load of wasps just because I got excited about these lovely, gorgeous, tasty little damson plums, which the wasps were also trying to get to. So, I stepped on one, a plum, that is, and then soon realised there was a wasp inside it. That was nice.
It was. And you've been suffering a little bit, of course, on the journey home.
Yeah.
And then overnight, very itchy.
Yeah, it's been itchy this morning, but for the first, 17 hours was just agony.
Yes. And it's a shame because it only happened, we'd only really been there about 45 minutes and we were having a tour of the garden. So we had another couple of hours or so having lunch and stuff, and you were just suffering.
4 hours, yeah.
Just going to get the...
I was enduring.
You were enduring it, weren't you? She was enduring. We endured Julia's screams of agony. No, she was very demure with her pain. Now then, up here is cups that we had, our cups of tea this morning. And I thought I'd just go and rescue them. Bloody kettle lid doesn't always click on, and then the kettle doesn't quite boil properly. It just goes boil, 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 boil. Oh, it has actually switched itself off. And the cat has licked his plate clean. So that's marvellous. Absolutely clean, it means. Because obviously when we're away for a couple of days, we don't feed him. So he gets very stuck. No, we do, of course we do. Billy came in. Billy came in and fed him. I'd be joking, ladies and gentlemen. I'd be joking. Right, bear with me as I make a cup of tea for the pair of us. So, this week, who knows what's going to happen? We may go back and have a look at... Pardon?
Let's go ask who then.
Ask who?
Yeah, ask who what's going on this week. Who knows?
Oh, who knows, yes. Sorry. Bloody flies flying around already.
Where's that bat?
That fly catcher.
Fly swatting bat.
Yes, we need to take evasive action.
Well, perhaps we need to get one of those
electric
light things.
Yeah, those UV, whatever they are. Crackly.
Zappy, zippy things.
Zappy, zippy, happy, clappy.
Actually, one of those metal door hanger things.
Oh, yes, like a fly curtain.
That's it.
That's what we need.
Handy too.
They're a bloody nuisance though, aren't they, when you're going in and out. They whack you in the face, stab you in the back, take all the money out of your bank account. They are very...
Steal your bed and your wife.
Yep. So that's not so handy. Nearly done with the tea, ladies and gentlemen. There's Julia's.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Enjoy that.
I will.
And I think I've had a nice tea. I'm going to have a coffee this morning now. I am reducing the amount of coffee I'm having because it dehydrates you. And nobody wants to be dehydrated in these sort of temperatures. But I'll probably talk a little bit about that on the show, when I record the vid. Oh, I need some hot water in there. Where did I put the hot water? I hope it's still hot. There we go, look at that. So, yes, I was going to say, maybe this week, we looked at one particular plot of land. If we get the go-ahead, we may be able to go back and have another look at the plot of land. Have a look, see what we think. Who knows? We take the camera, maybe film something if we're allowed to. And next weekend we've got stuff going on as well, if I remember rightly.
I can't remember what though.
Can't remember what it is. I'm just looking to make sure I know what's happening. Oh, we're going up to Thetford on the Saturday.
Uh-huh.
But the rest of the week, it's the 14th, you're quite right, is clear. So, got to try and organise our week. Get things sorted. Oh, I was going to sit down here, but I can see my hat's already been squished.
Dope.
And the other exciting news, of course, is that the book is finished. Biggleswick book is finished. And on Friday afternoon, I ordered some proofreading copies with the pictures that we took on the titles, for the title and back, and they should come. So we've done the best we can with looking at the grammar, the spelling and everything else. We're bound to have missed things by being word blind. And we want to get a couple of people to read the books, look, do their proofreading work, and also tell us if it made sense or if there's any loop.
Probably.
Yes, there's sort of like gaps of, well, what happened to him? Or, you know, hang on a minute, you said he was bald with bushy tail. Now he has got a lot of hair and no tail, or whatever, you know. So people may point out that, or I've made this mistake of calling one character Frank at the beginning and then he started to be called Fred later on. And you go, hold on a minute, I thought it was Frank and I've just forgot what his name was.
One character's last name got adapted.
Oh, yes.
The last couple of chapters.
So, you know, you're working on the book and then these machinations go on and there needs to be consistency and you think you're doing your best, but, you know, it's so easy to forget. So that's the proof workers will do that, hopefully, for us. Proof readers, I mean. Let's just have a slurp of my coffee. And other than that, It's business as usual. On the way back from Barry's place, our homestead artist chap, I suddenly realised I hadn't put out the pipe smoking video, which I'd recorded Friday.
Plenty of time.
And in it, I said, oh, by the time you watch this, we'll be ensconced in Kent with the man who painted this Spitfire picture. Well, actually, by the time people started to watch it, we'd had done it all.
We'd been done and gone.
Yeah. So apologies if you were expecting it out, because I usually try to get that out early on a Sunday, and it can then be available Sunday, and, yeah. You know, most people would watch it probably then. But you never know. Anyway, so it went out about, what time did we leave? About 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And it was only then that we realised that we'd, a half an hour into our journey, we realised we'd left something at Barry's and we had to go back, which was a bit of a nuisance, but we did it. And it was interesting on the way. You know, if you go on a road that you get familiar with, not that we were terribly familiar with this journey, but we left Barry's and we were driving back. And there was obviously had been earlier in the day some traffic lights, temporary traffic lights on a country road. And they were decommissioned, except for there was this stupid little barrier triangle against one lane on an ordinary two-lane track, you know, and a traffic light that was on but turned away.
Yeah, they obviously couldn't turn that one off, so they turned it away.
Yeah, so effectively the traffic lights were not working, and it was clear from the direction we came from initially, the sort of heading south direction. Well, when we realised we'd forgotten something, we had to turn back. We had to go past this spot again. And there was a queue of traffic, and there was this one guy at the front who couldn't work it out that the traffic lights, which were not pointing at him, they were pointing away. There was only this one little barrier, which was a triangle less than a metre square, if you put it in a square box, on the road.
Oncoming traffic was just willy-nilly whenever it arrived, would come straight on through.
Yeah. And there was nothing else. There was no further cones, barriers or anything like that to hint that there was anything reason to stop. And this guy, and we could see, we were like 4 cars back. We could see the other in front of us twitching around because their cars were sort of moving to go, why aren't you going? Why aren't you going? And having driven through it, we had the advantage of knowing that it was decommissioned. And I did say to Julia a couple of times, because I couldn't quite see from my vantage point, which was raised in the van, of course, can you see the light? And you couldn't initially see it. So there was no light. It's not. And then as we passed it, we saw it was turned and but on. But anyway, this poor bloke, I mean, I did feel sorry for him because he was a bit of a ninny, really. He was looking at this thing and he couldn't make up his mind. Anyway, we just came out of the just zipped out. I just thought, sod it. We're not waiting. So we just pulled straight out and boom, went past. And I looked in the mirror and they were still all sitting there going, oh, we've got to wait for the light. We've got to wait. A light that's not pointing at them. It's decommissioned. There's no light the other end.
You know, I should have gotten out and just gone and laid it flat.
Yes.
Now will you ignore it?
Yes. I mean, very often when I see these traffic cones and there's no work going in, someone's put the cones in like a week in advance, or they put a barrier up and there's no work going on. There's no reason for them at that moment. The workforce isn't there. I often feel like stopping and just pushing it all to the side of the road and going, look, when you're actually working on the road,
that's when you
have the barriers and things up. When you're not working on the road, keep the bloody roads clear. That's me, anyway.
Like a kid that doesn't want to let brother play with a toy.
And we all ought to be like that. We all ought to take that responsibility and say, why, look, just because a local authority has shoved these cones out or ordered them and the company that's... we all like look at these cones, well, we better not touch them, we better not move them. Julia and I were going to, back in the day when we were doing the Bald Explorer, we were heading to Christ Hospital one day to meet up for a walk. And it's quite narrow country roads from Horsham up through it, and we'd come up to Horsham or just before, turned off, and we were in these little sort of country roads, and there was a car in front of us, and then it came to a barrier, plastic barrier, you know, these orange plastic barriers across the whole of the road closed, can't go through. There was nothing. No digging of holes, no nothing. Cones and a few barriers. And that was it. And they'd blocked the road. And we were literally, and I mean literally, 500 or so yards the other side of this barrier where we were due to meet up. There was another road and we would get into the car park near the station. And the alternative was like a 2 mile journey round circuitous route to get back because of this stupid barrier. Well, I was quite prepared to go and shunt it, but I didn't have to because the bloke in front, my goodness, he was very upset. He got out, he stormed out of his car, picked these barriers up and threw them over the hedge, effectively into a ditch, and just drove through. Well, we just followed on behind.
Yeah, we cheered and followed
on. We cheered,
on,
yeah. I mean, it's, these things are stupidly positioned, you know, and we ought to take evasive action when we see it, because there's, what's the point? You're just making people more and more frustrated. It drives us bonkers.
It reminds me of the guy I saw when at the T-junction up the road on my journey back to my house. There's a garage just a few yards to the left of the T-junction. And there was cones out everywhere, so the road alongside the petrol station was all coned off, so, you know, so one small thin lane of traffic could come through at a time. The traffic lights were holding up everything, and when I finally got to the front of the queue to come to join the queue on the main road, I saw the guy ahead of me. It was a small van. He had pulled out and then he'd dived through the petrol station and out the other side to evade them. I was just like, ah, ah. I was just sitting there dumbstruck. That's so clever.
Yeah. Did you do it?
Not clever necessarily. No, I didn't on that occasion because I'd hesitated. I saw him do it and I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. But then I hesitated and I missed my opportunity.
But anyway, there you go. Well, we're back now, so you'll get another week of new dudes, hopefully. The washing machine is just about to finish its spin, which is nice. Julia's got to head back, so I will say cheerio. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Until then, take care. Goodbye.
Goodbye.